You'll find our text tonight
in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Are you blessed tonight?
Amen.
Been saved? How marvelous. How wonderful is His love for you and I tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. It's my prayer that God would help us and encourage us through His precious word as we read a few verses tonight. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, as we learn of Paul and as we study Paul's life and we look at Paul's ministry, we all come to the same conclusion that Paul served our Lord and Savior with an intensity and with a motivation that we long to discover. Not only Paul, but many of the Bible heroes, the apostles, our heroes of faith that we read about, they serve God and with a fervor that we so long for. And just like these, you and I believe, as we serve God, as we do our ministry, as we walk and we labor and go on for Him, we can grow weary in well-doing. The song the kids just sang, it's been a long journey. It's a long journey. But He's blessed us. But even though He's blessed us, you and I, because of our Adamic nature, we can grow weary in well-doing. Not weary of the way, but being weary in the way. Not growing tired of the way, but growing tired and faint in the way. And we'll see here Paul as he's writing and as he's encouraging this church. They are gold. It's a gold mine of Bible truths. We see these first six words in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, verse number 16, gives us Paul's motivation on carrying on and going on in serving our Lord Jesus Christ. So what is it that kept Paul motivated? What is it that kept Paul traveling on and keeping him from finishing his course so well? You know, Paul, he had been shipwrecked and beaten. He had stoned and he had been left cold and hungry and not properly clothed. He says naked. And what keeps him from carrying on? And I believe this text answers that question. Paul, he sees things in a twofold manner. He mentions and he talks about the outward man, and then he talks about the inward man. He sees and he focuses on a light affliction, but then he looks and views great glory. He talks about and he speaks of things unseen, not the things that are seen. And may you and I, we see as we're on this journey of life and this Christian walk in the way, we can see these biblical truths. You know, there's some truths that you and I shouldn't back up on tonight. You know, there's only one way to Jesus Christ. That's through His precious blood that was shed there at Calvary. There's only two places, a heaven and a hell. Once you die, there's no in between. There's a right and a wrong. And Paul sees these things twofold. And as he views and he walks in his ministry, I believe we learn to see and how he handled the troubles and the afflictions that he encounters. Paul's focus, we know, is on Jesus Christ. He views Him and the things above more than anything here on earth. He looks to His Savior and beholds Him in this future home. And may I say tonight, in this new year that we're in, I pray that we don't look on the things, our surrounding circumstances or our afflictions of being in this way, but we would look and focus on Jesus Christ this year like never before. Verse number 16. Paul said, "For which cause we faint not." So Paul, what is it that keeps you from fainting? What is it that keeps you from growing weary? Well, in verse 13, he speaks of the spirit of faith that's in each and every one that's saved and born again. This word faint, I looked up earlier today, it has the idea of being weary, growing so tired, growing so faint, growing so drained to the point where it's rendered one useless, worthless to help anyone or anything. One writer said about this word faint that it's spiritless. Here, just some 45 to 50 years after our Savior had been on the cross and he died and he rose again for you and I, these Christians here at the church were growing weary in well-doing. And I believe it's more prevalent, Pastor, in the day and age that we live in than never before. It was so important. Listen to what Christ and what Paul writes to all these churches here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He says to the church at Corinth, and he speaks of fainting not. To the church at Ephesus, he speaks of fainting not. To the church of Galatia, he speaks of fainting not. To the church of Thessalonica, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13, he speaks of fainting not. And he's telling us tonight, and he's encouraging this local assembly, this church, Fletcher First Baptist Church, to don't grow weary in well-doing, for which cause we faint not. He said in Galatians 6, 9, he said, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Paul's desire, Paul's motivation, Paul's goal, his craving was to be steady, to onward go, to push forward, to be unmovable, to have a fervent service for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Why? Because of that spirit of faith that's in each and every one of us. Jesus, it's Him. It's Him, and it's what He keeps His eyes upon. You know, perhaps like me, when trouble arises and affliction rises in and around me, I begin to size up. Are they big or are they small? What's the solution? How do I get out of it? What's the next step? Perplexed and doubtful. What's the way out? But listen to 2 Corinthians 4, verse number 8. For we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body of a dying of our Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in your body. So what is it that kept Paul going on? What is it that kept Paul from growing faint and growing weary? Well, it wasn't something, but it was someone. It was Jesus Christ. We see Paul, his focus is on Christ. It's on His glory and His honor and His majesty. His focus was on His affections and on our Savior's mind. We see and we know that Paul, he was a great man of God, a great servant of God, a servant that would not throw in the towel and that would not give up, for an example of you and I. Listen to what he says. He said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Paul's saying just to keep going, church. Don't grow weary. Don't grow faint. Keep your focus on Christ, His affections, His love, and to keep going. I was thinking this afternoon of Brother Stacy Piercy. Many of you know the great songwriter, the evangelist. He was once a pastor. Our young people sing a few songs of his. He was there and going through a great affliction in his church, going through trying times, and he was about to resign the church, and there praying in his office, he come to the end of his prayer, and he said it was like the Lord just told him, well, Brother Percy, at least you're not going to hell. And all week he prayed, didn't know what to do, and he said it seemed like the answer was like, at least you're not going to hell. And there in his office pens this song, now my life is worth living. Since I've been forgiven, Christ has made a change in me. I'm no longer crying when I think of dying because heaven is waiting for me. I'm not going to hell. I've met the Savior. I have a wonderful story to tell. Set free and forgiven. All is well. I'm not going to hell. You know, church, we see these afflictions, they arise in our life, we grow weary, we grow faint, but in spite of our troubles and storms and persecutions and being perplexed, tonight we can raise our hands, we can lift our voice, we can look to our Savior and say, Lord, I thank you for saving me, that we're not going to hell. I'm a child of God tonight. He loved me, gave Himself for me. That should motivate you and I. Paul's telling the church, he's saying, don't focus on your surroundings. Don't focus on the troubles. Don't focus on the afflictions. They're on every side. Verse 16, he said, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Even though this physical body is growing weak and it withers away, that inward man, that spiritual man, it's getting stronger, stronger, and stronger. Tomorrow's our pastor's birthday, 81 years old. And Brother David, I've watched him through these years. As time creeps upon them, that physical body may grow weaker. But they've been an example to me, that inward man, that grows stronger and stronger every day. Solomon, he told us, he said in Proverbs 4:18, the path of the just is a shining light that shineth more and more as unto the perfect day coming. You know that inward man, it's growing stronger. The outer man, it may be perishing, and that will cause us to grow weary. Holy Ghost said it this way. He said it perish. It's changing for the worst. But even though it's perishing, I'm thankful the Lord put something inside of me that has a vigor and that's being renewed day by day. On the outside, I wrote, we're suffering and taking is a beating. But on the inside, it's nothing but blessings and renewing. On the outside, church, it looks pretty hopeless. It looks pretty discouraging. But on the inside, there's joy and unspeakable full of glory. If any believer ever suffered, if any believer had persecutions, Paul did. He's beaten 5 times by the Jews, 3 times by the Gentiles. Shipwrecked. He was stoned, left for dead. Constant distress, cold and hungry. Plus he had the overseeing spiritual care of several churches. And what did Paul call all this? He called it light afflictions. Verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. You know that word light is used twice in the New Testament. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and once in Matthew chapter 11 verse 30. Where Christ said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The reason Paul said it's just a light affliction, I'm not growing weary, I'm not going to grow faint in the way, it's just a light affliction, because he was hooked up and yoked up with Jesus Christ. The Sunday school teacher asked the young kids what a yoke was, and one little girl raises her hands and says it's a harness that you put around an animal's neck. And the teacher said, yes, that's right, but what does it mean by taking God's yoke upon you? That same little girl answered, she said, that's when God puts his arm around your neck. Paul said, we can carry on. These light afflictions, no matter what you're facing and what you're going to face, it won't let us grow weary, and we can't grow faint because we're hooked up with Jesus Christ. He's saying, continue on, endure. We can be more than conquerors as long as we're walking in his yoke. He said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, what does it do? It worketh. Paul's telling us these afflictions, these things we're facing in our daily life, in our daily family, they worketh. They're bringing forth something. They're going to produce something. They're going to manufacture something in our life. Many afflictions, they work bitterness in the Christian's life. Some afflictions work doubt, and it brings forth confusion. Some afflictions bring forth anger. But Paul said in our text, he's saying these afflictions, these trials that work, they bring forth, it ought to drive us to the Lord and lean on him like never before. He said they worketh for us a far more exceedingly and eternal weight of glory. That's his glory. I was thinking this afternoon and looking at these passages in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, 2, and 3. You see a lot of things that are our Savior's. It talks about His will, His blood, His power, His kindness, His promises, His grace, and His glory. Ephesians 1:14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. That's you and I, church. God purchased us. He bought us. He redeemed us. Why? Unto the praise of His glory. You know, we live in a day and age, I believe, where glory, a lot of glory, it's given to ministries. A lot of glory, it's given to men. A lot of glory, it's given to organizations and good causes. But tonight, there's no one, there's no place, there's no thing that deserves and is more worthy of honor, praise, and glory than Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. That's why we come to church, for the sole purpose to give God the glory, the splendor, the honor that He deserves. I looked up that word glory. It means honor. It means splendor. It means divine perfection and divine excellence. I'll submit to you tonight, God, He'll allow men to see some of His glory. He'll allow men to rejoice of His glory. He'll allow men to even to be surrounded by His glory. But God will never, He will no never allow men to share His glory. God won't allow us to share His glory. In church, that's why we came. Not for the glory of our pastor, or for the glory of the choir, or for our own personal glory, but to give Jesus Christ the praise, the honor, and glory He's due. Paul said it all through the churches he wrote to. He said, for of Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever and ever. Amen. To the Galatian church, He said, to whom be the glory forever. Amen. He said to the church of Philippi, to Philippians, He said that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He said, now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, and the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Jude, he said, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. John the Beloved on the Isle of Patmos said, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they were created. And one day the church, you and I, will around the throne, will cry, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom, strength and honor and glory and blessings. It's His glory, church. He's worthy. The sweet psalmist of Israel, David, he said, Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name give glory for Thy mercy and for Thy truth's sake. You know, we live a life. I believe we live a life through the good times and through the bad times in this way, so unaware, so uncaring, so naive about living a life that brings honor and glory to Jesus Christ. God expects that from me and you. He expects us to live a life to bring Him this glory. Paul's telling us we ought to live a life looking for His glory. We ought to live a life in His glory. And we ought to live a life not to lose His glory. And I was thinking as the kids were singing, the Lord has blessed this church tremendously. I mean, a beautiful sanctuary, the carpet and the paint and the pews, stained glass windows, beautiful sanctuary. But if you were to give me a choice to worship God in a cardboard box with His power and His presence and His glory, or in the most beautiful sanctuary in America without that, give me the cardboard box. We need His power, His honor, and His glory. And Paul is saying, I'm not growing weary. I'm not growing faint. For these light afflictions that come upon my life is to let Jesus Christ receive the glory. Our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing is in the presence of Jesus Christ and seeing Him face to face at His second coming. The one that's able to prevent, keep us from falling, to prevent us faultless for His honor and His glory. Let's not grow weary. Let's not grow faint. You know, the lowliest church, the lowliest saint, the most ridiculed saint of God looked down upon society will one day shine as the brightness of the sun, walk in the presence of the angels, rejoice in the presence of Jesus, fellowship with the saints for this cause, to receive, to give God honor and glory if we don't grow faint. Paul, he's saying, I'm so motivated, I'm inspired to keep going on because these earthly persecutions, these earthly heartaches, these afflictions, one day it will worketh, it will yield weights of glory. It's an example to you and I, church. Jesus, the greatest example. There he went to the cross, knowing the pain, knowing the suffering, knowing the separation from his Father. His strength, his motivation to die for sinners derived from a love for another. And in Hebrews 12:2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, whom for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus knew some things that should keep him going. No doubt pleasing the Father, the love for a future bride, saving you and me, defeating the enemy. So when we see our light afflictions, when we step back and take inventory of these afflictions that creep into our life, do we see gloom or do we see His glory? You know, in the world's eyes, Pastor, Paul, I believe, was an incredible failure. I mean, here was a man whose life seemed to be wasted. At the height of his career, he left all that for strugglings and to suffer persecution. But Paul knew that the world only sees the outward. He knew not the unthings of the eternal God they see. Verse number 18. He said, while we look not on the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I want to encourage you tonight, church, don't grow faint. For this cause, we faint not, for the cause of the spirit of faith that lives in us, for the cause to give God honor and praise and glory to Jesus Christ, we faint not. Let me say in closing, faint not in prayer. Luke 18:1, and he spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men always to pray and to faint not. What's your prayer life like? Faint not in prayer. Let me say number two, faint not in perseverance. 2 Corinthians 4:1, for seeing we have this ministry as we ye have received mercy, we faint not. Don't grow faint in your perseverance. Faint not in preservation. That's our text, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 16. For which we cause we faint not, but through the outward man perish. But though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Let me say, we ought not to faint in our practice. 2 Thessalonians 3:13, but ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing, and let's not faint in our Lord's power. Wherefore, I desire that ye faint not, in tribulations, for which is God's glory. I want to encourage you tonight, church. Keep going. Look to Him. and faint not. Father, tonight we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for what you did for us on the cross. Lord, we thank you for this church and our pastor. We thank you for the people. And Lord, that you have put us in the ministry and you've given us a work to do, to serve and to bring honor to your precious name. Lord, I pray in this year that we would not grow weary. Lord, we would not go faint. We would keep our focus, our mind on you for the one that's worthy and honorable of all of our praise and all of the glory we can give. We love you. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. As Annalie comes to the piano, maybe you want to come and ask the Lord to help you in the way.